Full travel agent.
And we're back, and we're joined by Karen Hamlin, and who is our Destination Worldview guest today. And we're just traveling all over the place today. She's going to take us on a mental journey to Morocco. Good morning, Karen, and welcome back.
Hi, Marcus. Hi, Roy.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Good.
Today is just a traveling show for us here. We've gone from the Sea of Cortez, and now we're heading off to Morocco, which, you know, I've always found fascinating, and I think it's a great adventure that you've just gotten out there and gotten out to where it's all happening. How about just taking us on this mental journey now?
Oh, sure. Well, I was there to see the seven imperial cities, and those are Casablanca, Marrakesh, Mekinez, Agadir, Rabat, and Fez.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to tell you about is the two salient features that really are so memorable, the souks of Marrakesh and Fez and the Sahara Desert. The souks are so amazing. You're immersed immediately in 1,000 years of tradition and culture. And when you walk in, it's a maze of interwoven alleys. And I guess it's similar to our flea market.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or our mall, but then again, it's totally different.
Yeah, and it takes a gutsy person to go out there alone. I mean, well, actually, I think you said you had a guide when you went through this, didn't you?
Yes, and I would certainly recommend a guide, because the souk is a maze. And only if you work there, I think, only the Moroccans know how to get around.
Get around.
Because you could get so lost. You could literally not find your way out.
But it's fascinating with all the things that are there. Just tell us about some of the buys that you find in a place like that.
Yeah, well, they sell a lot of different things. Woven rugs, a lot of brass, vats. There's huge vats of fresh spices. It's really colorful. Leather, they have a tannery right there in the souk.
Right.
And you can go see it and see how it's made and how they dye the leathers, the hides, and how they dry them. And the pottery and the mosaics, they have all these intricate patterns that are in it. And I bought caftans. I fell in love with the long caftans.
Right.
And now, the beautiful embroidery.
I see that you could also buy harem pants there. Now, what would the... That'd be kind of an interesting item. I wonder how one would use those.
Yes, you can. You can buy the whole harem outfit.
Would they have a harem for sale by any chance?
Uh-huh.
Did they have a harem for sale by any chance?
You have to bring your own harem.
I think you have to make your own. Collect your own.
They have a lot of silk things as well. The leather goods I've seen are incredible.
Very, very beautiful.
How were you treated in a place like that, Karen? Were the people basically friendly, or were they just happy to get your money?
No, they were very friendly. In fact, they're very hospitable. The booths that are in the souk, their little shops, are almost like walk-in closets. And that's about the size of them.
Yeah.
But as you go by, if you're looking at things, they will offer you their Moroccan tea. And they're very hospitable. And the tea's delicious. It's a mint tea.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and they're very friendly. They'll ask you where you're from. They speak English, most of them.
I find that in these countries, they have lots of varieties of different types of teas that I had never tasted before. And, you can't even find them in this country.
Right. Yeah, Well, the only one I ran across was the mint tea, the Moroccan tea.
Right.
That seemed to be what they served in these little demi-tasse cups.
Right.
Everywhere.
But they drink a lot of tea, because in most of those religions, their alcohol is not something they consume.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so exciting there.
Now, I guess you kept your pockets buttoned, did you?
Yes. Yes. You do. There are a lot of pickpockets. You do have to be careful of that. I mean, I didn't run into any, but if I did, I probably wouldn't know it.
I always thought it might be fun to put mouse traps in your pocket.
That's an idea.
Yeah. They're a little bit snappy. I thought it was fascinating that you you passed a very old pasha sitting in his big empty palace, and he invited you in to have tea in a rather special way.
Yeah. Because you're curious, so you're peeking your nose into little. There's houses along the way, but they're not houses like our houses. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And the pasha's palace, of course, is much larger with big mosaic entrances, and I peeked my head in and saw this old man sitting on a pillow kind of thing. And when he saw me, I mean, must have been like 85. When he saw me, he motioned for me to come in. And I guess he had servants, but there was nothing in this place.
It was just totally empty, as you say, yeah.
Yeah, it was a big empty room, beautiful.
But no furniture.
No furniture, no. And so his manservant, I guess, I don't know, brought me some tea on a tray. And he didn't really speak any English, though. He just kind of smiled.
and your Moroccan is somewhat limited, I would assume.
Very.
Now he gave you a big smile. It's funny. John Bennis, who we had on previously, talks about getting a golden smile. Now, most of the places that you're talking about, I always found a lot of them were partially toothless smiles.
Yeah, this was.
Yeah.
A toothless smile.
And you spent a little time in the Sahara Desert as well.
Yeah. Oh, that. I think everyone should make a pilgrimage once in their life to the Sahara. It's like the greatest desert on the planet.
Yep.
Did you actually get out into the desert and camp out, or?
No, I wish I had. We went out there for the sunrise, and you ride your camel only to a certain point. I don't know why. We couldn't take the camel up this, like, 10-story dune.
Right.
No, that's where we have to get off and walk.
Yeah. I don't have good luck with camels.
Oh, you don't?
No, they're not very friendly towards me. And you know, I got a little nasty when I was in Jordan with one of them, and that didn't really amuse the people around there because their camels are their closest friends, I guess.
Oh, it's like their cars.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah.
I found it a very uncomfortable ride. In fact, it was easier to walk than to sit on that thing bouncing around. You certainly don't want to drink a lot of beer or have a big meal before you get on it, that's for sure.
No, it's not too comfortable, but I hear elephants are a lot worse.
Right.
Well,
they're a little bit wider as well.
Yeah.
Well, so you went down to the desert.
And
it's just, it's actually beautiful, isn't it? I mean, you have to, if people that are listening, if you haven't seen the desert, it's really hard for us to give you an idea of how beautiful it really is and how clear the sky is at night and the stars. It's just a wonderful experience.
A completely different world.
Oh, completely.
Mm.
It's so surreal.
Yeah.
And the sand is, it's different than other deserts. Other deserts might have sagebrush or, the flowers of the desert. The Sahara has deep orange sand everywhere.
Right.
You know, it's not even striated.
Right.
And it's, there's nothing there. Absolutely, there's no frame of reference, nothing. So you don't hear crickets, you don't hear frogs. It's totally, totally silent. You almost feel like you're in outer space or something.
So desolate. It's an amazing feeling,
yeah.
But a wonderful feeling.
So Karen, was it worth climbing up the 10-story sand dune?
Absolutely.
Good. And you got there in time to see the sunrise, or
well,
you?
No. What happened was we got to the top and there's a ridge, and it's such a narrow, thin ridge. And you sit on that and wait for the sun to rise. Well, instead, what happened was the fog rolled in.
Oh, really?
But that gave it a real eerie feeling.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. From
that was a very strange feeling.
From being crystal clear to fogged in and no sound, that would be very, very unusual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No airplane.
Yeah.
No noise at all.
Right.
So that silence is almost like an inner sanctum you walked into.
Well, and going from the souks to the desert has been an incredible change of pace.
Yes.
Now, tell us some other things that you did while you were there.
Let's see. I also, we visited all the different, like I said, the seven imperial cities.
Right.
And they were very nice. They were, one of them, let's see, it was a university city. And that's a modern city, but it also had a lot of kasbahs. There's kasbahs all along the way from
right.
one city to another.
Right.
And a kasbah is a walled city. That's really all it means.
Yeah,
exactly. When you were there, there are obviously a lot of differences. Would you also find similarities to some things in the U.S.?
Well, in the other cities, yeah. In Mekinis and Rabat's a big city,
right.
And so is Fez. And, there's the cars and the congestion and the usual.
Yeah,
right.
And they have malls. So that didn't stand out in my mind so much.
No, same old, huh?
Yeah. And some of the university students were kind of hounding us, groups of them.
Right.
Yeah, but I think those are students.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Politically active,
Yep.
They wanted to know why the U.S. was doing this, that, and the other, and how could we, And we just said, we're not political.
Yeah, did you also say that you don't understand it either?
I don't know.
I mean, somebody asked me, I got into this big argument over politics, and I said, listen, I can't control my politics, and I'm sure you can't control yours, so why are we having this conversation? Let's have another drink.
Karen, a couple of quick things before we have to go. What about, when you visit a country like that, there's got to be different cultures, different protocols, different traditions that you need to follow, and give us an idea of some of those.
Yeah, it's good to brush up on that. ask permission definitely before taking photos, because and this is a country where still some of the women wear the burqas.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the modern city so much, but you definitely do see it, and. When they offer you something, you should take it so it's not an insult. If they offer you tea, even if you've had 10 cups already, say thank you and take it.
It's like when I was in Iran. Every home I went to, they offered me the traditional dish, which I think was called chili kebab. And I always said yes, but after a while I thought that this is all they eat. There's got to be something else.
After a while, you wonder, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The Moroccan food is fabulous. They have a wonderful one with they put prunes in a lot of things.
Yeah.
Prunes, and it's very sweet. It's not a spicy kind of food that they eat.
Yeah. In Melbourne, in Australia, there is a street called Lygon Street, and it's 5 miles of door-to-door restaurants, and there's a wonderful Moroccan restaurant there that I ate at regularly, mm-hmm. and really enjoy the Moroccan food.
It's very good.
Yeah.
I was surprised, because I'm a picky eater.
Yeah. It almost seems healthy.
Yeah, very healthy. It is.
They live a long time, and they live in... They live in less than perfect surroundings in a lot of areas, so mm-hmm. that's got to be good for you.
Yeah. Yes,
sir. Karen, as always, it's a pleasure talking to you, and you bring out all sorts of interesting features of the places that you visit, and this was no exception.
Well, thank you.
And we really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for chatting with us again.
Yeah, I think next time it's Finland.
Finland. Oh, wow.
That would be great. We can eat some reindeer.
Right. And eat some. Yeah, eat some and
meet
some.
Right.
Eat some and meet some.
Right. Thank you, Karen. Talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye now. Okay. You're listening to Talk and Travel, still on the Travel Talk Radio Network and worldwide at ttrn.com. When we return, we'll be joined by Adele and Ron Love.